a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him. Now, again, why are you a Christian? One of the big whys you are a Christian believer and Christ follower is that you would proclaim the praises of him. That you would proclaim the praises of him. That you would proclaim the praises of him. That means praise is coming out of your lips. His acclaim and his fame is coming through your mouth. Praise God. He's called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hebrews 13:15. Therefore, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise. What's another reason why I'm a Christian? Why do I exist on this earth? What on earth am I here for as a Christian believer and Christ follower? Someone once said your two biggest discoveries two biggest dates to remember in the earth is when you were born, and then the second one, why you were born. Hallelujah. Why you were born. So God has a plan and purpose for us, but he wants us to offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice to God, proclaiming our allegiance to his name. Proclaiming our allegiance to his name. So again, last week, and welcome to all of you who are joining us online. We're just teaching on the praise and worship, the power of praise and worship. As we appreciate you joining with us, coming to our online community. Let us know you're there. Check in. Say hi. Say where you're watching from. Give us a shout. Tell us who you're watching with. Praise God. We'd love to hear from you. They'll have the information up there so you can connect with us. So we appreciate you watching with us tonight. What is praise? We talked about that last week. Praise is celebrating God as our heart's true home. The scriptures are filled with injunctions and instructions to praise God. Praise the Lord. So we have both injunctions and instructions to praise the Lord. One scripture is 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 20. 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 20. It says, then David said to the whole assembly, give praise to the Lord your God. And the entire assembly praised the Lord. Hallelujah. How many of you know that's good instructions to follow when you're in church? When the worship leader or the service leader tells you, let's praise the Lord. And then, of course, everybody praises the Lord. We haven't got there yet. Now, some people think, well, we've gotten perfected. No, a lot of times people think that those are suggestions, but there are injunctions and there are instructions to praise the Lord. Amen? And so they prayed the whole assembly, the entire assembly. Now, how many of you know the Bible doesn't stress the truth? And so you're talking about hundreds and thousands of people all praising the Lord. It's a roar. It's a rumble. Praise God. Because they followed instructions. They followed the injunction to praise the Lord and the God of their ancestors, and they bowed low and knelt before the Lord and the King. Praise God. Because we're called to praise God. We're created to praise God. We're commanded to praise God. Hallelujah. We're commanded to praise God. Now, Psalms 106, verse 1 says it this way. These are all out of the New Living Translation. Praise the Lord God. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. So this is one of the good reasons why we are to praise. But it's also instructions on what is praise. We're to do it. We're to give thanks to the Lord. Why? Because he's good. Things may not be going good, but he's all the time and every day good. And so you give thanks because he's good. Yeah, the situation may be bad, but God is good. Give thanks. You have a reason to praise God all the time. Psalms 113, verse 1. Psalms 113, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Yes, give praise. O servants of the Lord, praise the name of the Lord. And so we talked last week about what praise is. We said praise includes three things. Praise includes three things. Number one, commending. Commending. Everybody say commending. Everybody say commending. Not everybody saying, so everybody say commending. All right. Number two, expressing approval of or favorable judgment. Expressing approval or a favorable judgment of. Expressing approval or a favorable judgment of. So you're expressing your approval about God. all the time about the Lord Jesus Christ, about the will, work, and ways of the Holy Spirit. You're expressing approval and a favorable judgment of. So you're all the time reflecting and making these kinds of statements. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. We appreciate you. We value you. Number three, glorifying. Everybody say glorifying, especially by crediting with perfections. Crediting with. So we said praise by commendation applies the promises of God to our personal circumstances. Praise by commendation applies the promises of God to our personal circumstances. So we're taking the promises of God and thanking him for the answer and not just thanking him in the midst of the problem. We're thanking him for the answer. We're thanking that you got the answer, Lord, that you're mighty, you're bigger than this. Greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. I thank you, Father God, that you're the most high God. So this thing can't be too high enough for you. We thank you, Father, that nothing's too difficult for you. Hallelujah. You're the God who specializes in possibilities. Now, praise by approving is turning our thoughts toward God and remembering how he has won our acclaim and adoration. It's turning our thoughts toward God and remembering how he has won our acclaim and adoration. It is reciting the wonder of who he is and how he has made a difference in our life and the life of others. So we have all kinds of good reasons to praise the Lord. Amen. Praising by God by glorifying him is simply recognizing and testifying to all these admirable qualities of God. As we honor God for who he is and what he has done in our lives, we make room for him to work for us and in us every day. So think about where we said we're going. As a Christian, you want to get to a place where you're a praiseaholic. Now, we know addicts or aholics are, you know, could be synonymous with alcoholic, drug addict, right? Amen. All kinds of other addicts or addictions or being vices and things that are negative. But we want to be on the positive side, be a praiser. You want to be known as a praiser. Man, they're always singing, they're always praising, they're always giving thanks. They're always appreciating God. Why? Because it makes room, all of this culminates, as we honor God, we make room, not just for who he is and what he's done, but we make room for him to work for us and in us every day. So when you are a praiser, you have a praise life. You're an addicted thanksgiver. I'm not just talking about to people. It's always good to be that with people. Always good to say those two words, thank you, and appreciate what people are doing or have done for you. But we have to thank God. We have to give thanks to his name. We have to declare our allegiance to him. Okay? So when are we to praise God? Let's look at Psalms 34, verse 1 through 3. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. This is an Amplified Classic. His praise shall continually be where? In my mouth. Now, this is a good time to take personal inventory and say, what has been continually in my mouth? You know, even back in the old days, they used to call it potty mouth. You had a mouth that was putrefied, or that means it was like you were talking out of another part of your body because it was ugly. Ugly words, nasty comments. Amen. And some people had a prideful mouth. meaning they're talking about who? Their three favorite people. What's going on with them? They're the center of the subject. They are the subject matter of all their, the majority of their conversations. It's about them. Amen. And some people can have a poor mouth. In other words, they're always talking, woe is me. They're always talking like they're the victim, never the victor. That means they lack confidence. They lack courage. They lack any type of conviction in their words. And so their mouth is poor. So their life is all reflective of what they've been speaking. But I want to suggest to you and encourage you to have a praise mouth. Not a potty mouth, not a pride mouth, not a poor mouth, but a praise mouth. But he said, his praise shall be continually in my mouth. That's the standard of a praise mouth, a praise life. He said, my life makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble and afflicted hear and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. Come on, let's just magnify the Lord. In other words, you make him bigger than what you have been going through. You make him bigger and better than anything that you have experienced today. Praise God. You magnify the Lord. When you magnify the Lord, you make him big. You exalt him. You promote him to the highest place of attention and adoration and acclaim. You promote the Lord, that's how you exalt him. You put him top priority in top place. You don't put other people there. You don't put your problems there. You put the Lord there. It has been said there's two times to praise the Lord. Number one, when you feel like it. It's easy because you're merry-hearted. Things are going good. You're happy. And then when you don't feel like it. Any other time, you don't have to praise him. I want you to let that sink in for a minute. So the implication is that you are to praise the Lord at all times. Good times, bad times, sad times, and happy times. Dear friends, praise is an everyday part of life. No matter what's happening, whether you are having low moments or high moments, what do? Your focus is to stay on God. Turn to someone next to you, say, your focus. Look at somebody, turn around and look at somebody and say, your focus should be to stay on God. That's your focus. Now, we all say, number one reason people fail is a common statement that's made by a famous minister. He says, broken focus. And if our assignment or our alignment with God is to be a continual praiser, to have a praise life, a healthy praise life, then when we break focus, the devil's usually coming in, distracting us, disrupting us, discouraging us, even depressing some of us. Now, we shouldn't be getting depressed as Christians, but it happens. But sometimes he comes in to try to depress us so he can press. And what do? We mute up. Our life is miserable, and our praise life is even more miserable. We don't appreciate the Lord. We don't exalt the Lord. We don't acclaim and adore the Lord as we need to. Amen. When are you praising God? Think about when did you praise God today. Now let's look at the example of a best of times. David and Nathan are having a conversation. 1 Chronicles 17, we pick it up here. David said to prophet, I dwell in the house of cedar. I've got a nice house. And the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord is under a tent curtain. He said, that ain't right. That ain't right that my house is better than what the Lord's presence is living. So he's Nathan said, you know, do all that's in your heart. Then we pick it up in verse 4. He said, go tell my servant David. The Lord's talking to Nathan. Thus said the Lord, you shall not build me a house to dwell in, for I have not dwelt in the house since the time that I brought up Israel, even this day, but have gone from tent to tent and from one tabernacle to another. Wherever I have moved about all Israel, I have been ever spoken a word to any of the judges of my Israel, which I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now, therefore, thus shall you say to my servant David, thus saith the Lord of hosts, I took you from the sheepfold and from following the sheep to be a ruler over my people Israel. And I've been with you wherever you have gone, and I've cut off all your enemies before you, and I've made your name like the name of the great men who are on the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and will plant them, and they may dwell in a place of their own and move no more, nor shall the sons of wickedness oppress them any more as previously. And so he's having this conversation. We'll read down to verse 14. Since that time I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, I will also subdue all your enemies. Furthermore, I will tell you that the Lord will build you a house. And it shall be when your days are fulfilled that you must go to be with your fathers. I will set up your seed after you, who will be of your sons, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build me a house, and I will establish his throne forever. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him who was before you. And I will establish him in my house and in my kingdom forever, and his throne shall be established forever. So David had a desire to build the Lord a house, but we know from history, God said, you're a man of war, you had a lot of bloodshed, you're not going to do it, but I'm going to honor you because you had that desire. And then I'm going to let your son build it, and it's going to be glorious. So David gets blessed just for wanting to bless the Lord. And so we pick it up here in chapter 29, and in verse number 20 and 20. So he's now getting in on it because he says, I got an offering set aside. I've got a personal offering. People are bringing their offerings. And so he's excited about getting in on the project. Because projects, you know, building projects are not just faith and finances. They should be praise. We get to do this. We get to give to this. Amen. Look at this verse 20. And David said unto the assembly, now bless the Lord. So all the assembly did what? The whole church. You're talking about thousands of people there. Bless the Lord, their God, their Father, and bowed their heads and prostrated themselves before the Lord and King. I mean, the whole place was just worshiping and praising God. Hallelujah. And they made sacrifices of the Lord, offered burnt offerings to the Lord on the next day. 1,000 bulls. Could you imagine that? 1,000 rams, 1,000 lambs, and their drink offerings and sacrifices in abundance for all Israel. They just kept praising God and worshiping God and offering up sacrifices. They were having a praise party. Everybody say a praise party. We ought to have praise parties sometimes. We just enjoy and fully engage in praising God and offering him the sacrifice of praise. Somebody say praise the Lord. So that's an example of good times because they're celebrating this project getting done. The money's coming in. Praise God. We get the chance to give and sacrifice to the Lord. That's a great time. Amen. So they're honoring God. Now, what about a worst of times? Let's turn over to Acts. Acts chapter 16. Many of us know the prefix to this story. Paul and Silas are going around and minding their own business, doing their ministry. But here comes a demon-possessed sorceress who's calling them out and trying to embarrass them by announcing them everywhere they go. And it was grieving, because how many know you don't want the devil advertising for you? That's a good place to say amen. So the devil's advertising, and it's grievous because it's not for the right reasons or the right motive. She's trying not to promote them. She's trying to mock them and shame them. The devil's always in mocking and shame business. And so anyway, so Spirit of God comes on Paul. He casts the devil out of that woman. Now the guys that was making money off of this sorceress, she was a soothsayer, fortune teller, and she's telling everybody, you know, we would call them palm readers and those kind of things, people today. And so she was doing it by a demon spirit. So they said, man, we lost our way to make money off this woman. So they falsely accused Paul and Silas, beat them publicly, and put them in prison, charged them and imprisoned them falsely. How many of you know that's a bad day? Yeah, so how many of you had some bad days? We've all had some bad days, right? And so those bad days come. And so here's Paul and Silas. Now, it happened when they went to prayer, a certain slave girl possessed with the spirit of divination met us and brought her masters with prophets by fortune telling. This girl followed Paul and us and cried out, saying, these men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation. And this she did for many days, but Paul, greatly annoyed, turned and said to the Spirit, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out of her that very hour. Now, when her master saw that her hope, their hope for profit was gone, they seized Paul and Silas and dragged him into the marketplace to the authorities. And they brought them to the magistrates and said, these men, being Jews, exceedingly trouble our city. And they teach customs that are not lawful for us, but being Romans, to receive or observe. Then the multitude rose together against them, and the magistrate tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods. Now that's a beat down. It's a bad day. And when they had laid stripes on them, they threw them in the inner prison. That's not the gen pop, as they call it, general population, or the regular normal jail cells. They put them in the hole. Now the hole was where the sewers ran through. This is where we would call the toilet emptied out into. So they had to deal with the toilet stuff. Everybody say that's nasty. So they put them up in chains, and they put their feet in chains. They're already bleeding and beat, and so they're hurting real bad, but now they got to smell all that stuff, and you got the rats running around there, and you got waste, human waste running through there, and all kinds of just stank, we call it stank and funk, they had to deal with. And so that will make you have a bad attitude. It'll make you not want to have a reason to praise and thank God. Because you said, they were just so unfair. I've been done wrong. And if it had been people today, some people, unfortunately, would have sung that they done me wrong song. They would have posted on the social media how bad it is. But it says, having received such a charge, he put them in the innermost prison and fastened their feet. But at midnight, everybody say, but at midnight. But at midnight. Midnight is not only just literal, but it could be figuratively speaking about your worst dark day. The worst of that dilemma. The worst time. At midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and doing what? Singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So they weren't just singing under their breath. They were singing out loud where people heard them. They were unashamed, even being beat and imprisoned in that manner, that they couldn't sing out and praise the Lord in their worst day. Now listen to this. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's chains were loose. Everybody say, in the bad day, in the worst times, it's a time to double up on your praise. Double up on your praise. You know, one of your faith friends should be checking you out, checking you and say, okay, this time to praise the Lord. We spent 10 minutes talking about the problems. We got to spend 10 minutes or 15 minutes praising God. Come on now. Some people just want to, you know, you got to sometimes talk to people about your heart burdens and issues, things that are bothering you. But then don't just leave it there. Give God equal time or more. See, praise is day in, day out, a day in, day out responsibility. You don't have to have a high day or a low day to have a private session with the Lord in praise. I remember one of the guys, Raymond Singer's man, his name was Jim Hockaday. He went to lunch with Kenneth E. Hagin back when he was alive, and he was running healing school. So he said, Jim, go to lunch with me. I don't want to go to lunch alone. So he went to lunch with him. He said he's driving, and they get to lunch and stuff. And he said, Brother Hagin's not very talkative or conversational, so he's not talking much. But he said he noticed every 10 to 15 minutes, he would just chime out loud, praise the Lord. Every 10 and 15 minutes, he's eating his soup. And he'd raise up, praise the Lord. He'd go back to eating his soup, raise up, praise the Lord. He was had a continual habit and a lifestyle of continually praising God. Somebody say, glory to God. And so some of us wait until church on Sunday. Some of us wait till Wednesday before we praise God. And even then, we don't come with praise and thanksgiving in our heart. Now, listen to me. Everybody look at me. If you don't have praise and thanksgiving in your heart, then you've not come to church fully prepared to praise God corporately. Now, I want you to chew on that, because you should have something in your heart when you come to church. And like I said last Wednesday night, we ought to put praise meters on people. Because some people are, you know, are famines. Their praise is in famine status. That means it's very little. So it's like, okay, well, you know what you got to do? You got to do 10 minutes of praising God. Praise the Lord. Now, this is a game changer, ladies and gentlemen. Some of you are going to see this being a game changer for you. This is going to be a catalyst for positive and productive change in your life, in your faith, in your love walk, in your honor walk, in the things that God has told you to do. Because praising God is an integral part of everything we do as Christians. Praise the Lord. All right. So you want to have thanksgiving. Instead, we come to church with our bad feelings or frustrations or wait for somebody else to make us feel better. Look at the mandate here in Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians with me. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19 and 20. I'll start with verse 18. I'll just go back to 18. And do not be drunk with wine, which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, the Spirit's influence gives us an attribute where we're thankful and we sing praises. One of the Spirit's attributes that He empowers us and equips us to do is to make us thankful and to make us sing praises. Now, that's one of the signs that you're empty, that your heart is not full. That means you don't praise. You got to wait till you feel like it. And so sometimes we've been taught that through religious training or some tradition, that, you know, I only move when I feel the Spirit move. No, we said, when do you praise God? When do you move your mouth to honor God with your glorifying him and commending him and thanking him? At all times. At all times. Somebody said, glory to God. And some people say, well, I got to feel it. No, you don't have to feel it, because then you're depending on everybody else to make you feel better. And you being a potty mouth or a poor mouth or a pride mouth, praise person, instead of a praise mouth Christian. Somebody said, glory to God. He said, be not drunk, be filled. This is the evidence. Look at verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Making melody in your heart to the Lord. Speaking to who? One another. Speaking to one another. So when we come in and say hi, or how you doing, brother and sister, you're starting speaking to them. But out of that overflow of your heart, where the Spirit's impact and influence and impartation is in your heart, you're giving a praise report. You're talking and bragging about God. Come on now. You're speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Singing. Everybody say singing. Singing and making melody. Where? In your heart to the Lord. Now, this is a practice you have to practice. Because some people sing songs. They get to a point to where they can sing songs about the Lord. Or they sing songs about what the Lord has done. We always said songs are typically fall into three buckets. Amen. There's songs of proclamation. There's songs about declaration. But then there are songs about adoration. That means you're singing directly to the Lord. You're loving on the Lord. You're loving on God. Hallelujah. Singing and making melody, that means people love to listen to music, but they never want to be the music. You got to be the music to God. Now, this music comes from your heart, your spirit, through your mouth. Now, unfortunately, people let the devil take their praise. Or the devil steal their shout of victory or shout of praise. Never let the devil steal your praise. Amen. And it goes, so verse 20, giving thanks always for all things to God. Giving thanks how often? Always for all things. To God the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Somebody say, hallelujah. So that means before you get to church, listen to me very clearly, you're supposed to be praising God. In other words, we all should be praying for the service and praising God in advance and in faith about the upcoming church service. Now, that's why I said this is a game changer. This is a catalyst for your positive and productive change in your life. When you start praising God, first of all, you start praying for the service, praying for the needs of the service. You start praising God and thanking him in advance of what he's going to do when you come together with your church family or your spiritual family. Come on, that's a game changer. You can imagine our praise and worship services going to very high levels where we see the glory and the power of God in full manifestation. Why? Because we're saying it's all about God. Now, here's a social church. That's a spiritual church. A social church wants to come and talk about what's going on in my life, what's going on in my world, what's happening to me, my favorite, what's wrong with me. And we let the devil take away our shout of praise. We let the devil mute us up and muzzle us up from praising God. See, even before you get in your car, you're supposed to have had your own private praise service. So when you get with the rest of God's family, your church family, at church, you're ready to ascend into God's presence with everybody else. Now, that's where we're going. And that's why we're having this teaching, because when we have church Wednesday night, Sunday, whenever, special service, whatever, we come in to get in his presence. Whatever we're doing, meeting, fellowshipping, we want his presence to be there. Therefore, our praise and worship, brothers and sisters, has to be there. Amen. Amen. So we're ready to get in God's presence like everyone else. Listen to me clearly, dear friends. Here. It is not a job. It's not the job. Listen to me very clearly. It's not the job of the worship leader to inspire you to praise God. I'll say it again. It is not the job of the worship leader or the praise and worship team to inspire you to praise God. In essence, when you prepare in private for public praise, you don't need a worship leader to make you feel like praising God. You don't need, that's my song. You don't need, that's my jam. See, we got to get out of this soulish, fleshly stuff. We got to get into being spiritual with our praise. Have a spiritual purpose and target in mind, a goal in mind when we praise God. Somebody say glory to God. Because some people will really head bob and shake and move when their favorite music artist, God calls that carnal. When you only respond to the song you like. And what do? You withhold praise from God. You withhold praise from your life. Because at that moment, you don't feel like it. But you got to realize, I've been called, I've been created, I've been commanded to praise God. Hallelujah. Somebody say glory to God. So if you haven't been talking to your soul throughout the week, the way you're supposed to. Because David did that. He said, bless the Lord. What? Oh, my soul. He talked to his soul and said, soul, why are you disquieted in me? What's wrong with you? See, some of the best conversations you'll have is with yourself in the mirror. What's wrong with you? Why aren't you praising God? You know you got all these problems. Get with it. Because he said, I will bless the Lord. When? At all times. Psalms 34:1. Now, praise starts with the will. So the will is a part of your soul. You got to say, I will bless the Lord. Come on now. Then it moves to the emotions. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. Then it flows to others. Listen to me. Look at the progression. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast. Now you're feeling it. You're not just faithing it, because we all should be faithing it. F-A-I-T-T-H, faithing it. Making a firm, decided choice to praise the Lord. Intentionally. Not just inspirationally, when we feel like, but intentionally. Make a choice to rejoice. Somebody say glory to God. Then it flows to the emotions. Then you feel it. Feelings follow your faith. I remember Kenneth Hagin was demonstrating this, and this is a good way to do it. He got up in the morning. Some lady woke him up real early. He had just got in late, him and his wife, and his hair was all tussled, and he didn't feel like praising the Lord. He didn't feel, had cotton mouth, he said, at the time, because he hadn't, somebody interrupted his sleep. And then she came in and said, Brother Hagin, I don't feel saved. I don't feel saved. And he got a little irritated. He said, what's wrong? You broke up my sleep. We got in at 2:30 in the morning. We just hadn't finished our sleep. She's over at the house at 8 o'clock asking about her feeling saved. And then, of course, he said, well, what is this? Come on, let's get down here and pray about it and repent. Because he's thinking she's sinned. She says, no, I haven't done anything. What have you done? He said, okay, anything in your heart? No, nothing. I just don't feel saved. He said, sister, get up. He kind of snapped. Get up. What do you mean you don't feel? You don't go by your feelings. And he demonstrated to him. He began to lift his hands up. See, I don't feel saved at all. I see, as a matter of fact, I got a cotton mouth. My mouth is dry. You know, my hair is tussled. I just woke up, so I'm not in the best of the top mood emotionally. But he just began to lift his hands and thank the Lord. Thank you, Father God, for being my very own Father. Thank you that I'm born again. Thank you, Father God, that I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. Thank you that Jesus Christ is my Lord. Come on now. Thank you, Lord, that you're my very own Father. I'm your very own son. And thank you, Father God, I'm born again. I'm filled with the Spirit. And he said the presence of God fell on him and his countenance began to change. Friends, you got to praise your way into his presence in private so that in public you're not look like a foreigner. There's too many foreigners in church where they look like praising God is something strange or odd. It's not an oddity to praise the God. It should be a natural day-to-day happening in our lives where we praise the Lord, where we get excited about God. Come on now. Where we exalt his holy name, where we esteem him on high. So you got to be talking to your soul throughout the week like you're supposed to, and you don't need anyone to get your attention or stir you up. You're already eager and ready to go. Everybody say it to your neighbors. Turn around, look at somebody and say, you need to be eager and ready to go. Every service. Come on, look at somebody else and say, you need to be eager and ready to go. Talk to your soul this week. Hallelujah. Look at that. David said in Psalms 122, verse 1, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. That means when it comes down to church, you don't just look at, oh, I got to do that. There's been too much of that going on. And because we don't feel like serving, we call out. Or we don't feel like coming, we stay out. Don't shout me down. I'm preaching real good tonight. Hallelujah. You got to be like David. I'm glad because when I'm in my private time, I'm having a praise party. Now we get to have it at church with all my brothers and sisters. We get to have a praise party at church. And that church gets so exciting, so thrilling, so revolutionary, so transformative. I walk out of here and I carry that presence with me on my job, in my home. Come on now, in my community. And people say, why are you so happy? Why are you so lit up? Because I've been praising God at church. I'm excited about God, what he's doing in my life. Praise the Lord. See, David rejoiced when the doors of God's house were open. And he could go in. He was excited and expectant to worship God with God's people. Now, you think about it. Let's contemporize this a little bit, make it contemporary for now. There's some states that have still shutdowns and restrictions on churches. They're under oppression of, like, the communist countries, which they declare you can't gather, you can't have church. That gives us a more reason to get excited and stay excited about getting to come to church, getting to go to church, getting to come to the worship service. See, in a real sense, we all of us are worship leaders. How good have you been leading your own private worship sessions? Don't answer that. Because we're temples of the Lord. Now, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17, New Living Translation says, don't you realize that all of you together are the temple of God? And that the Spirit of God lives in you? God will destroy anyone who destroys this temple, for the temple of God is holy, and you are that temple. He's talking about them physically and spiritually, our temples. See, we are all stones. We are all a part of God's building. When we come together, we create a corporate temple of God to bring praises, glory, and honor to him. Does everybody see this? We're not just singing songs. We're praising and worshiping God on purpose because we want him to accept our sacrifice of corporate praise and corporate worship. I hope y'all seeing this tonight. Amen. Praise God. First Corinthians 6:19, it says this: do you not realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? Everybody say, my body, as a Christian, is the temple of the Holy Spirit. That means I carry the Godhead, the Trinity, in the person of the Holy Spirit, in my spirit. I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. So what I do with my body either glorifies God or horrifies God. Amen. So who lives in you and was given to you by God. You do not belong to yourself. So it means we lose the right as Christians to choose for ourselves what we do with our body. We got to honor God in our body. We got to honor God with our spirit. See, what we do in our own house affects what we do in everybody else's house. That's why you just can't be just jamming out to the R&B, hip hop, rock and roll, the good old oldies that made you move in the flesh and got you all moved up and stirred up in your flesh, and think that I'm going to come in and turn the switch over and praise God. Hallelujah. Because what you do in your house affects what happens in everybody. You can bring some strange praise up in here. See, when we sanctify our house through righteous praise at home, we are ready to sanctify the whole place when we come together as a church family. That's what they did on Azusa Street. They came together and praised God to a point to where the whole community and people were calling the fire department because there was so much power and so much glory showed up, it looked like a fire. The church was on fire. They were just the presence, the full manifested presence of God. But see, when you sanctify what you do at your house, you help sanctify what God wants to do at this house and in this community and in this city. Therefore, dear friends, we must be careful and cautious not to come expecting something great in our public praise and worship if we haven't had any individual meetings and private praise sessions with God first. See, your praise in your private life is what brings power and authority to your public experience. Praise in your private life is what brings power and authority to your public experience. David was known as a worshiper because he's out there with those shepherds and sheep. He was as a shepherd and sheep, and he's out there praising God. And he had victory over the lion and bear. And when he came, he was to Saul to kill Goliath. He was telling them and testifying of what God did through him, and God wrought a victory for him with the lion and the bear. And he said, "This uncircumcised Philistine's going down too." Come on now, somebody say, "Praise the Lord." Your praise in your private life, ladies and gentlemen, brings power and authority to your public experience. Are you short or are you overdrafted on your praise life? Well, you don't have enough praise going on to cover your personal and public experiences and situations. Is there enough praise going from your own heart and through your own lips to handle your giants and your mountains? See, private praise prepares you for public victory. I'll say it again. Private praise prepares you for public victory. Praise in the beginning of the day gives God room to handle whatever comes your way in the rest of the day. Now, this is where we need to examine how we get up and how what we put as a priority. Our priority shouldn't be coffee. Now, again, sometimes it's important because you might need that little Java juice to stimulate you. But you shouldn't have anything like that dependent for your spiritual condition. You got to praise God before you go to work. You got to praise God before you have people come over your house. You got to praise God before you run errands. You run in your car ragged. You will come back all tired and drained and feel like you've been beat up. Why? Because you didn't praise before. So you didn't prepare for God to help you handle the things that you had to deal with that day. And then you go home and complain about how hard and how bad that day was. See, praise in the beginning of the day gives God room to handle whatever may come your way and the rest of the day. Now, how many of you get up, and I don't have to show your hands, but how many get in a habit or get up with a habit of looking at your phone? And if you don't have a discipline to start with God, you will start with everybody else's to-do list and what their agenda is. They'll have text messages waiting for you, emails waiting for you. They'll have calls that you missed, and then you try to, and you get up all your day responding to them instead of responding to God. Amen. See, you got to listen to God. Not the news, not social media. Don't check in with Facebook first thing in the morning. Your face don't need to be in that book. Your face needs to be in his book. Thank God for Facebook, but praise God, you don't need to make social media your top priority and your first response. Before you leave the house in the morning or evening, listen to God. Listen to God. Listen to God. Praise is how you make room for God in your life. Praise is how you make room for God in your life. Psalms 9, 1 and 2, it says this, listen to this. I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will, look at the choices he's making. I will tell of all your marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. Come on now. Everybody say, I will do it. You got to make a choice to do it in the morning and in the evening before you go to bed. We said, remember, the standard David had was he praised and thanked God seven times a day. That's a praise life. Now, he prayed three times a day, but he praised and thanked God seven times a day. How many times today did you praise and thank God? Now, this is where the real, raw reality comes into right in front of us. We got to make adjustments. Now, here's another one that I'm closing with. Sing a new song every day. Because here's the intention or the purpose and reason in our praise life. See, we readily, and you all could admit this, I think you would, we readily gossip or grumble or complain about everything else. We quick to do it. We either readily gossip or grumble or complain about everything else. Now it's time to talk about the Lord's doings in our lives. The Lord's doings in our lives. Wouldn't it be great that every time you saw each other, we shared something good of what the Lord has done for us? We wouldn't just gossip or grumble. We say, no, I don't have a gossip policy. There's no gossip policy in my life. So I'm not going to run my mouth and run someone else down behind their back. Amen. And then there has to be that situation where there's no grumbling. Because, like we said before, gossip and grumble go hand in hand. They're the same ungodliness, unholy things coming out of your mouth. Remember we said, when you complain, you'll remain. When you praise, you'll be raised. So what? Just get a grip. Why complain? So when you meet people, you're not just talking about what's happening. We're talking about what the Lord is doing, the good things that the Lord is doing. So we ought to be looking for it. That changes our perspective, our outlook, our optics about how we walk through the day. We ought to be taking note, mental note, and if you need to, physical note. Put it on your phone. Put it on the, I need to praise God about this. Writing the things. You know, one guy, old guy, you say, I took a 355 card because every time he saw and discerned the hand of God working on his behalf, even if it wasn't all the way complete or manifested fully, he said, I got to praise God about this. And by the end of the night, he had 5 to 10 things before he went to bed to praise God about. Then when he woke up in the morning, he got 5 to 10 things to give thanks and praise God. We've got to be intentional and purposeful in our praise life. Psalms 33:3, sing to the Lord a new song and praise to him. Play skillfully and on the harp and sing with joy. That's Psalms 33:3. Psalms 96:1, sing a new song to the Lord. Let the whole earth sing to the Lord. Now, evidently, God likes singing. Do you ever sing to him in the shower or in the bathtub? Do you ever sing to him as you're sitting on your pillow at night before you go to bed? Do you sing to him when you get up and go to the bathroom in the morning? Do you sing to him while you're cooking dinner? Do you sing to him while you're doing laundry? He said, sing a new song to the Lord. No, we gotta depend on, and thank God for him. We gotta depend on Bethel. We gotta depend on Hillsong. We gotta depend on Elevation Worship. We gotta depend on these music artists. No, he said, you sing a new song to the Lord. Psalms 98:1. Sing a new song to the Lord. For the Lord has done wonderful deeds. Look at this, wonderful deeds. His right hand has won a mighty victory. His holy arm has shown his saving power. Look at another one. These are all David's responses during the day. Psalms 149:1. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praises in the assembly of the faithful. Do people catch you singing new songs to the Lord? Do you catch yourself and find yourself singing a new song to the Lord? Now, I didn't say a sad song. I didn't say a bad song, because we can really tune it up when it comes to a sad song or a bad song or a mad song. Come on now. We're supposed to sing a new song to the Lord. Hallelujah. What is our new song? I'm glad you asked. A new song is to be a song of God, of all that God has done for us. If you're not looking to it and appreciating God for the good things, the small things, the big things, then you're taking praise from him that's due to him. You're taking honor and glory that's due to his name. See, it's based on our experiences with him. See, we see the example of David here in Psalms 40:1-3. Listen to this as we get ready to close. I waited patiently for the Lord to help me, and he turned to me and heard my cry. He's testifying. He lifted me up out of the pit of despair, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on solid ground and steadied me as I walked along. He has given me a new song to sing. A hymn of praise to our God. Many will see it, what he has done, and be amazed. They will put their trust in the Lord. Look at that. See, every day you should have a new song to sing before the Lord and to share with others. Now, here's the game changer. This is part of the game changer. When we get into this discipline and dedication and devotion to praise the Lord, not just inspirationally, but intentionally. Come on now. We will come up with all kinds of things to share and testify of the Lord's goodness. But sometimes if you have an attitude of ingratitude, you only see the bad. God then did 10 or 15 things good for you that day. Kept you from disaster and disease. But we're gonna complain about the one bad thing that we experienced that day. Or the one person that got us all upset and looking crazy that day. Come on now. We got to turn our eyes to him. Amen. And praise him with a new song. Praise God. Every day we should have a new song to sing before the Lord and share with others. You must learn to see, sing, and testify of his goodness. So when we have the talks and the fellowshipping here, we're all talking about the Lord. We're not talking about our problems. We're not even talking about our fun. We're talking about our Father. We're not talking about football. We're talking about our Father. We're not talking about other things. We're talking about our feelings. We're talking about our Father. Hallelujah. So praise is to be as natural and as common to you as breathing. Praise may be both direct and indirect. Now, let me explain this as we close. When you commend God to others, when you commend God, you are praising him indirectly. Complaining destroys the atmosphere created by praise. Now listen to me. I talked about the potty mouth. I talked about the pride mouth. I talked about the poor mouth. Now let me give you one, another one, negative. The poison mouth. Because when you put out complaints and you're grumbling or gossiping, you are destroying the atmosphere of praise. And then, you know, Pastor Cynthia and the praise team have to look at us like we're the first church of the frozen chosen. Because we're too heavy. We're too heavy to praise and lift up our hands even. We're just looking like we're so filled with despair or filled with depression. See, complaining destroys the atmosphere. A new song every day keeps God's presence with you because he wants to be the center of your life, the center of your joy, and the center and heart of your praise. Come on, just lift your hands and thank God. Come on, stand to your feet as Pastor Cynthia come. Praise God.